Bible tonight, Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Good to have each of you back with us this evening. Of course, we're doing a study through the Book of Ephesians, one of my favorite books. I like it in the Book of Romans very well, and it's just filled with great Bible doctrine. What's the word doctrine mean? I'm asking you. Bible teaching. That's all it means. So when you hear somebody say we need to get away from doctrine, you know what they're telling you? You need to get away from Bible teaching. You don't want to get away from Bible teaching. We need all that we can get. And one of the ways that we grow as Christians is by taking in the Scriptures, by hearing them at church, but having a daily study at home. All God's people should study their Bibles at home. And church, we get the Scriptures at church, but not nowhere near enough. So there needs to be a daily time. I suggest you have a time and a place that you meet with the Lord every day so you can pray and so you can read your book, so you can read your Bible. We are being so blessed by the Lord because he's seen fit that we even have our own copy. And we should take advantage of that. We should know so much more about the Scriptures because we have all the Scriptures. And I'm thankful tonight for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for His churches that teaches His Word. Now, what we're doing is the section we're in right now is verses 15 to 23. And what I did last week is I did 15 and 16. And what this is a prayer. It's what he's doing. It says in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, love to the saints, seeks not to give you thanks, making mention of you in my" what? Prayers. That's what we looked at last time, just those two verses last time. But tonight I want to go ahead and finish this, 17 through 23. This is an inspired prayer. Why do we call it an inspired prayer? Well, because it's in the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Lord wanted this in His book. Now, one time, I used to be able to quote it. I used to, when I would walk and pray, I used to be able to quote it. But now I don't know what the matter is. I don't know what the problem is. It's for some reason, I can't quote her all the way through now like I used to be able to do. But this is a good prayer to remember. And you can take this and you can pray this for people. There ain't no doubt that whatever these requests are would be whose will. There ain't no doubt that they're God's will because they're in His book. So I would encourage you to read this prayer when you go home, and hopefully I'll get all through it this evening, but you can read it and just get to where you know it, and you can pray this. You can literally pray this to the Lord, and I think, you know, there ain't no doubt it would be His will to grant whatever this particular petitions are in this quest and in this Scripture because it's in His book, okay? So the title tonight back there, CD Man, is Paul's Inspired Prayer, Part 2. Why we call it inspired? Because of Scripture. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why we're calling it that. All right, let's go ahead and pick up at verse 17. We've done. Let me go ahead and read 15 and 16, and I'm not going to preach on that again, but it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my" what? Prayers. And of course, all God's people should have prayers. Y'all agree with me? All God's people should have prayers. Prayers. Our church would be better if all God's people had prayers. They had prayers daily in their life and make requests for people and pray for people and pray for the Lord to move. Pray for the Lord to save. And that's what we should do. Now, let's go ahead and move on to where we're at this evening, verse 17. And there's a kind of a title here that I really like. I like this title that's given in here. Notice what it says, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? I like that title name. I like that name for Him. He's the Father of glory. The Father of glory. Don't y'all think that's a pretty title for him? And I'm going to give you a couple reasons why he's called that. One reason is because he's provided us a Savior that one day will bring us to glory. Y'all agree? He provided us the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and one of these days, because of his grace, he's going to bring us to glory. I can't imagine living in this world without the expectation of going to glory at the end of my days. I've told you this here recently, and of course, Psalms 90, I think it's Psalms 90, 10, but average lifespan 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. I mean, we're getting close to that. Y'all think? We're getting close to that. And you always need to be ready to go. And I can't imagine life without the expectation of going to glory at the end of our days. So he's the Father of what? Father of glory. He's provided us a Savior, first of all, to bring us to glory. How many ways are there to heaven? There's one. There's one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man goes to the Father but by me. There ain't a million different ways to heaven. There's only one, and that's through the Lord Jesus, and he's provided us a Savior to bring us to glory. At the end of my days, either by death or by rapture, I'm going to glory land. I'm going to glory land, and I can't imagine life without that. Majority of people live for their retirement, and retirements can be good if you use your retirement to serve the Lord with. I think that's pretty much wasting your time if you don't take advantage of the time on your retirement to serve the Lord. It gives you more time to serve the Lord. Y'all agree? You have more time to do it. I mean, when you're working, it takes a lot of your time. But boy, when you have free, when you don't have to go out to a job, it kind of frees you up and gives you some time. And you know what I fear more than anything else? I don't want to waste my time. I fear wasted time. I don't want to waste it. I want to take every opportunity that I have that the Lord gives me to serve my Father. And I want to serve him all my days, and I want to please him with the life that I have. And every one of us should be that way, don't you think? So it's so very important that we recognize that he is the Father of glory. I like that title. So he's provided us a Savior to bring us to glory. And then number two, he's also seen to it that we've heard the glorious gospel. How do you get saved? It has to be by the glorious gospel, doesn't it? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, I think it is. Come to man. I think I'll try to find it for you. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 talks about the gospel. So God's title, our Lord's title, he's the Father of what again? Father of glory. Father of glory. Why is he called that? Well, one reason is because he's provided us a Savior that's going to bring us to glory. But number two, he's seen to it that we've heard the glorious gospel. Now, notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world, see the small g, it's talking about the devil, really. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do y'all realize that's why you look at all kinds of people and they'll sit under the gospel and they'll hear it and but they don't believe, and sometimes they'll sit under some pretty hot messages and still won't believe, and you say, I can't believe, they can't see it. Well, they're blinded. That sinner man is blinded. And that's the same way we were in. Song Amazing Grace was blind, but now I see. And again, who opened our blinded? Who opened your blinded mind? Well, the Lord did through the means of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you're blind, you can't see. If you're, you know, the worst form of blindness isn't physical blindness. The worst form of blindness is spiritual blindness. People that can't see. They can't see. But what happens on the day that the Spirit of God opens an old dead sinner's heart, then they ain't blind no more. I was blind. Now I see. And I'm telling you, that's all because of God's grace that I see, and it's all because of God's grace that you see. And you should thank the Lord every day of your life that He turns your light on. The Scripture also says He illuminated you. What's illumination? He turned on your light, and He gave you the ability to see, and He gets all the glory and praise and honor. Are y'all still in 2 Corinthians 4? All right, let's move on down to verse 6. I got to be careful with this. I love this text for one thing. Notice he came in verse 4, he says, "The God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God should shine unto him." Verse 6 now is what I'm after. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He shined in our hearts." For God, who commanded the light to shine out in darkness, hath shined in our what? He give your heart light. He turns your light on. You were in darkness, and through the new birth, He brought you in to the light. "So the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine to them." That's why they can't see it. Have you ever been in a church service, and I mean the conviction was heavy in the services, the Spirit was moving in the service, and then there's people there don't have no effect on them at all. What's the matter with them? Well, they're blinded. They stand in need of what? They need to have their heart opened. You remember Lydia, the seller of purple? How many remember her? Would you raise both hands? I just teased you. You can raise them both if you like. You remember her, Lydia, the seller of purple? And what's it say about her? Remember? And I think it's Acts 16. But it says, whose heart the Lord opened? Now, the Lord can open your heart. The Lord can open your heart. And you know what it means to open your heart, don't you? It means to open up your understanding. The Scripture says that He has given us an understanding. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, you have to turn to it. I've quoted all of them. He has given us an understanding to know Him that is true. Who did it? He did. He opened your eyes. He opened your blinded eyes. See, the worst form of blindness isn't physical blindness, as bad as that would be. The worst form of blindness is spiritual blindness. And that's where we was in before we was born again. And then in the new birth, He opens your heart and He opens your eyes. And you see and you trust Jesus as your Savior. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:6 again. "For God, who commanded the light to shine into darkness, He shined in our hearts." Let me say that one more time. He shined where at? He shined in your heart. Are y'all glad that He shined in your heart? "And He gave you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So let's go back to our text in Ephesians 1. So he's the Father of glory. He'll bring us to glory one day. I don't know when I'm going. I just know I'm going. Either by death or rapture, either way, the Father one day will bring me to glory land. How does the Lord save? He saves through the glorious gospel. Doesn't give you that. And I want to give you a little something else. I shouldn't have turned you as fast, but let me give you a little something else here. Let's go to Romans 8, and let me throw this in here with that. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to notice, it's verse 29 and 30 kind of gives you the broad plan of salvation. It goes into eternity past and brings it all the way down. Okay? That's Romans 8:29. Now notice what it says. "For we know for whom He did foreknow, foreknowledge, He also did predestinate to be conformed," and to be conformed to His Son is to be made like His Son. That's what He intends to do. "He's going to conform you to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now watch this now. "Moreover, whom He predestinated," what did He do? He called them. Whom he predestinated, what did he do again? It's what it says. I didn't write it. He called them. Now, this is an inward calling that opens the heart. It's the new birth. Basically, the calling and a new birth is basically the same thing, I think. He turns your light on. You were in darkness, but then he put you into the light and turned your light on. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, what did he do? He called them. And whom he called them, what did he do? Whom he called, what did he do? He justified them. So that means those he calls are going to end up how? Justified. Those he calls will be justified. That means they trust Jesus. They're declared righteous. Well, don't stop there. Those he justifies, what's he going to do then? If you've been truly justified, you're going to be truly glorified. There's no losing it if it's real. All God's people say it. There is no losing it if it's real. I said if it's what? If it's real. Because there ain't nothing you can do with that but accept it. Those he justifies, he's going to glorify them. What that means is that one of these days they're going to get a new body and they're going to be taken to glory. And they're going to be conformed to the image of his son. They're going to be made like Christ. And that's a glorious, glorious thing. So let's go back to our text. So he, in this inspired prayer, he is the father of what? He's the father of glory. He's the father of glory. And he's going to bring us to glory. Okay? All right, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what again? The Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. This is what the Lord does for you in the new birth, isn't it? He gives you the spirit of wisdom. When did you become wise? We don't really consider it. We try voluntary humility is what I call it. But he's opened our eyes and our understanding. He's given us a spirit of wisdom. And he did that through the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom. Who gives you the spirit of wisdom? When did you become wise? The day you was born again. The day you was born again. Something runs in my mind here that I might need to read, but let me see if I can find it real fast. Everything just running tonight. The text says he has given us an understanding to know him that is true. Y'all remember that? I quote that all the time. 1 John 5:20. I know to have it. We know that the Son of God, we've know that the Son of God has come, right? Now, I want you to listen to this. He hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. All right. Do you understand who Jesus is tonight? Did you trust Jesus as your Savior? Did you? Why do you know who he is? Well, you know, that's because Rick's so much smarter than everybody else, isn't it? Think about it. Is that because we're so much smarter than everybody else? You know who deserves the glory for you? You know who deserves the glory for you understanding? The Lord does. Now, let me read it one more time. We know that the Son of God has come. And he hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. He hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, even in Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So he's the one that give us the understanding. That's something to glorify Jesus for, isn't it? So that's because you're not smarter or greater or better or it's just because he gave you the understanding. That's why you know. All right, let's go back to our text and let's roll on. Hope you're enjoying it. Yeah, I sure am enjoying preaching on it, because I like to preach these things. But let's move on a little bit. All right. Let's move into, let's go and read 17 again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your what? Understanding would be enlightened. Now, he's praying this here for the church of Ephesus. And do you think we should pray that before we come to church? Don't we need to have our eyes? Now, of course, I realize the Lord made us alive the day we were saved. But don't the Lord needs to open our eyes to the truth of his word, too? Y'all think? Don't you think he needs to open the eyes of your understanding about his truths? There's been some teachings that I heard the first time, and when I heard them the first time, I thought, yeah, where'd you find that at? And then I took the scriptures and looked them up in the scriptures. But before I looked them up, I did something else. Y'all remember what I did before I looked them up? I prayed. And I said, Lord, is this true? Is this real? Is this what you intend from this text? So he'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. See all that in verse 17? Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. All that is gaining more knowledge of him. We should ask for that. Every time we read our Bible, every time we come to church, we should ask the Holy Spirit to do that. And he will enlighten you. Have you ever been enlightened? Have you ever been enlightened and you've seen? Have you ever not believed something? And then you did some studying on it, and then you went, oh, yeah, right there it is, you know. He will enlighten your heart. If you really want to know, and you ask the Lord, and then you search it out, it's amazing what the Lord will show you. All God sees will see it. It's amazing. So you need the eyes of your understanding to be what? To be enlightened. Now it goes on to say in verse 18, that you might know the hope of his calling. The hope of his what? The hope of his calling. Now, when we think of calling, usually the only kind of calling that you think about is a call to special service, right? For instance, a pastor is called to his particular position. I'm a pastor, but you have to be called to be a pastor. Y'all think? It's a calling. The Holy Spirit's the one that lays that calling on you. And one of the ways you know it's true is you just got to have, you know, in the book of 1 Timothy 3, it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, it's a desire. You want to do it. Have a strong desire to do it. And if you call, listen to me, you must do it. You don't want to do anything else. That's what the calling is. It's overwhelming. You can't quit. Well, I was always told if you could quit, quit. But if you've been called to it, you can't quit. That's the difference. That's the difference. So, let's read on. So there's a calling to special service, like the calling to be a missionary. The eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. This calling right here is a calling to salvation. There's a salvation calling. Look at Romans chapter 8 says, those he calls, he justifies. So that's what this is. It's a calling. It's not an outward calling, it's an inward calling. There's a call, and I'm calling on people to believe on Jesus, right? I do that every time, nearly every time I pray. I call on people to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is an inward calling. It's a calling that issues from the Holy Spirit. And the book of Romans 8 says, and I didn't mention this earlier, those he calls. What else does it say in Romans 8? 28, 29, and 30. Those he calls, he justifies. That means they believe. It means they believe. And that's the reason why. You know why you see tonight? It says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now I'm going to ask you a question, beloved. Who enlightened you? Who enlightened you? Who enlightened your eyes? Who opened your blinded eyes? The Lord did. See, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He enlightened you, Rick. It's not because you're smarter than everybody else. Everybody knows that, don't they? Think about it. It's not because we're brighter than everybody else. Smarter, more intelligent. It's because he enlightened our hearts. He gave us light. He gave us light. So the eyes of my understanding has been what? The eyes of my understanding have been what? Enlightened. Who enlightened them? The Lord did. So he deserves the glory. He deserves all the glory for that. All right, verse 18, let's move on. That we may know the hope. That we may know the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Well, let's see. Let's read it here in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So what is the hope of his calling? It's an inheritance. It's an inheritance with the saints. We're in the saints. We have a glorious inheritance, don't we? Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, I think. I wasn't planning on using this. It might be chapter 1. It's chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Watch this now. Boy, this one will preach, but I've preached this at revivals before. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, he's begotten us again. That's a new birth. To a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. That's what we talked about earlier too. And this inheritance that we have, do you have a great inheritance? You sure do. You might not have a great inheritance in this life, but man, if you're born again, you got the greatest inheritance anybody could ever have. To an inheritance. Okay? And this inheritance is, it's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade. I bet that'll sound good on the tape. That fell off there. It doesn't fade. Now listen to it. And it's reserved. Your inheritance is reserved. Where at? It's reserved in heaven for you. So we got a reserved seat there. We got a reservation. You ever heard that old song, I got a reservation? That's what it means. It's a reservation that we got. It's reserved in heaven for you. So what's reserved for you? Larry, you got a reserved inheritance waiting on you there, right? But you know what else you got? Look down at verse 5. You're kept. Not only is the inheritance reserved for you, but you're kept by the power of God until the day that you get it. All God's people say it. You got a reserved inheritance. And you're kept until you get it. Oh, God's people say it. That's being saved, isn't it? That's being saved. All right, let's go back to our text in Ephesians. I got to pick up the pace a little bit. I ain't in no rush. All right, so we looked at verse 18. Let's move down into verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? To who? To usward. That's the saints. To the usward who believe according to the working of his power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who do what? Who believe. Can I ask everybody here a question tonight? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? I don't mean do you believe that he exists. I don't mean that you believe that he's the creator. I mean, I believe he's the creator. I mean, have you believe means to trust. Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? Have you done it? Have you asked him to save your soul? The scripture says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Boy, I hope you have. In order to have an inheritance with him, you got to trust him as your Savior. Verse 19, let me read it again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he did what? When he raised him from the dead. You all believe Jesus raised from the dead, don't you? He raised him from the dead. That secured our eternal life, didn't it? We'd have no hope if it wasn't for him rising from the dead. And you know, because he resurrected, guess what's going to happen to us one day? We're going to resurrect. Hey, there would just be a resurrection of the damned if it wasn't for Jesus' resurrection. And now because of Jesus, there's a resurrection of the just, and there's going to be a resurrection of the unjust. Which resurrection you want to go in? You want to go in the resurrection of the justified is what it means. The resurrection of the just. I don't know if I'm going to die or not. I'd like to just live till he comes and gets me, don't you figure? I'd kind of like it. I've told you about Betty McClung. I still miss her. I told you about her. I said, now, Betty, would you rather just go up in the rapture? Or just go ahead and go now or later or whatever. She said, Jeff, it doesn't make any difference to me. Whatever the Lord decides, fine with me. That's what she said. Didn't make any difference to her. You know why? She knows she is going either way. And that just blessed me to know it. That's a wonderful way to live. That's a wonderful way to live. Either by death or rapture or whatever. I know I'm a going. And how could you lay down and sleep at night without knowing that for a fact? It wouldn't be much of a life to live without the expectation of going to glory at the end of your day. So he's raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand, where at? In heavenly places. At the right hand of the Father. Let me finish this tonight. Far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world to come. It says he's far, far. Notice what it says, far above all principalities and powers. That's all angels, demons, Satan, whatever. He's far above them all. Presidents, kings, he's above everything. See, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. He's over it all. He's far above it all. Now we're going to close with verse 22 and 23. And he hath put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church. You know, in the New Testament, when you read your Bible, the first church was started in Christ's earthly ministry. Who was the pastor of the first church? Jesus was. Jesus was. Matthew chapter 18, you can read about it. He gave him some rules concerning discipline in Matthew chapter 18. So that was the first church. That was the first church. Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He started that in his earthly ministry. Then in Acts chapter 2, he put his stamp of approval on it. He did. He came down. It's sort of the same thing he did when the tabernacle was finished. The temple was finished. He came down and filled it with his glory. He did the same thing in Acts chapter 2 with the church. And you know why he done it that way? He said, this is where I'm to be worshipped at. This is where I'm to be worshipped at. When you read in your Bible Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians, Colossians, you read about Jerusalem and Corinth. And these are churches. These ain't one big universal church. These are local churches. There's words to describe all the saved. There's words to describe all the saved. All the saved are the family of God, ain't they? Right? All the saved are the family. When you're talking about the family, you're talking about all the saved. But hear me. The church is a local assembly. When you read in your Bible, Colossians, all these are churches. Everywhere Paul went, every town he went into, and people were saved, he established local churches. What for? To carry the commission. Doesn't it make sense that if he was going to have a commission, he would ordain an institution to do it? And that's what the purpose of the church is for. Here's what a church is for. It provides an assembly place for his sheep. It provides a teaching place for his people. The ordinances are there. That's what a church is. I could go on and on about what a church is. But that's what Jesus started. He accredited it in Acts chapter 2. And then when you look at the book of Acts, everywhere people were saved, they established. And they started. They started churches there. So that's a great thing, is it not? Let me see if I can stop. No, let's go back to Ephesians. Let me finish this out. Ephesians 1, far above all principalities and powers, dominions, every name, not only in this world but in the world to come, he's put all things under his feet. He's gave him to be the head over the what? Who's the head of this church here in Bancroft? Well, I am. The Lord is. Listen to me. I work for the chief shepherd. His churches belong to him. His churches belong to him. You remember going back in, when we stopped through the book of Revelations in chapter 2 and 3, you had the seven churches of Asia. You remember where Jesus was? He was right in the midst of them. So why would he do it? They carry his word. They teach his word. They carry his ordinances. They provide that assembly place. He's right there in the midst. He's right there in the midst. He loves his churches. They carry his message. They carry his gospel. Okay? All right. He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. Who's the head of the church? Well, the Pope is. No, goodness, no. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head. That's what it says here. He's put all things under his feet. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the what? To the church. It belongs to him. He loves it. And the church is also called his what? His body. It's called his body. Because it does the work. That's why it's likened to a body. His church does the work. They carry his message. They teach his word. All these things. That's why it's called a body. It does the work. Which is his body, the fullness of him who filleth all in all. All God's people said. We'll stop with that. Tara, sorry. I hope you enjoyed that. But be sure to read Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 is one of my favorite texts in the Bible. If I had just probably just one chapter, I'd want Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 is great. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. You come back next Wednesday.